Well, while you're giving, I'm going to invite Justin to come on up. As I open my notes here, I don't want to get anything wrong. All right. I want to introduce our speaker this morning, Justin Cherry. If you don't know Justin, that's okay. He kind of lives in New Zealand. So you have a good reason not to know him. I was putting together all the time we spent together, and it really is probably more hours and days than it has been weeks or years. We just haven't spent that much time together.
I'm Justin.
I feel like, nice to meet you, sir. I feel like we share a lot in common, not just our Lord and Savior, but we share kind of the same sense of humor. And so I always enjoy the times that Justin's here. I should introduce, where's Jennifer and Riley and Gavin and Zane? Did I get everybody? There they are. They're over there. Hi, guys. We're really glad you're here. Hey, a great follow on Facebook are these guys. You can see pictures of, you know, from halfway across. How far is it to New Zealand, Justin?
Let's just go. We'll say 8,000
miles. 8,000 miles. But it's a great way to keep in contact with them. We've partnered with Justin for over 11 years now, from the time he was at Sunset School of Preaching. It's not School of Preaching. International Bible College of
Institute
Theology
of
and
Missions of
Jesus-y
Jesus.
Stuff. Yeah. We're glad that he graduated from there. And for the last 8 years, almost, he has been in New Zealand and doing a great work down there. He's been married to Jennifer for 15 years, if you can believe that, and a Harding graduate, and we did the math. He is 444 months, and because you never tell people's age in months after they get past two, and I thought, what a great way to introduce him, to tell you how many months he is. He's 189 pounds and 3 ounces, so...
And 3 of that pounds came here. So.
And you know what? Your mother's here, so we can say, and mother and baby are doing fine.
Yeah. Hey.
What I love most about Justin is the fact that he's a missionary. And what that means, if you don't know what a missionary is somebody who is bold and courageous, but not fearless. They understand what's at stake in this world. They understand that the world's population hangs on the story of Jesus. And so he lives to embody that story, to tell that story, and to spread that to as many people as he can. I'm excited that he's here today. I do not give up this pulpit too often, but for you, he's a man that I admire very much, and I'm looking forward to his message this morning. Justin.
Thanks. Thanks, Jeff. You can have the pulpit. I just need the microphone. So, I do want to say, Chet, thank you for those songs. Like, I needed fed this morning, and I don't know if your plan was to make me a blubbering mess, but you almost did it. But I appreciate it. I needed to hear that message that Jesus is powerful, and he's for us, and he's at work always. So thank you for that. The message I have this morning really is important. So I need to do something right now, and we're going to require you to do a little bit of math. But I need us to be in sync. I know, Matt, I know. It's awful. But I'm an accountant by nature, my background, so it's math. But we're going to do this together. So I want you to pick a number, any number you want, between 1 and 10. I'm going to give you just a second. Make sure it's between 1 and 10. Don't go outside of 10. And don't go beyond before 1 either. Just in there. Okay. So I want you to take that number times 2. If you guys all have smartphones, so if you can't do math, pull out the smartphones. All right, times 2. We got it? Now add 8. Yeah, I only got a couple more. It's all right. We're almost there. Now divide it by 2. All right. Now I want you to take that original number you just came up with, and I want you to subtract your original number from it. And if I didn't say that right, whatever it is, make sure it's in the positive. Because I said it the other night to Jennifer, and she's like, oh, that's a negative. I'm like, let's make sure it's a positive, okay? All right, you got your number? All right, now I want you to associate a letter with that number. So if your number's 1, it would be A, 2B, 3C, 4D, on and on. So you got your letter? All right, now come up with a country that starts with that letter. We got it? All right, now, however you spell that country, see, now we went from math to spelling. However you spell that country, the second letter in that country, come up with an animal that starts with that letter. Okay, you got your animal? Now make sure, now figure out the color. What's the natural color of that animal? So if your animal was a lion, it would be yellow. So come up with your natural color. Do we got that? This is important. We got to be in sync. We got to make sure that there are no gray elephants in Denmark. Okay? So if we are in sync, then this message will make sense to you. If not, you can just go get ready for the potluck. It's not going to make any sense now. So, okay, I just want to make sure because this is important. All right. I'm also a magician. No. All right. DC sends its greetings. They say hello. They blessed me as well as you guys blessing me to come here and be with you. They gave me the opportunity to take away for a few weeks from my work there, and they are doing all that they can do to keep doing what I do and more. So I'm grateful for this opportunity to be with you, and they are grateful for your partnership as well. I'm not always the most eloquent speaker, and ever since I've been in New Zealand, that's really just gone down. I start to say what I think more, and it doesn't come off smooth as it used to. And I'm not the smartest. My wife will contest to that. But here's what I wanted you to know. I want to share my heart with you in a few areas: kingdom, mission, Jesus, and partnership. That's what I want to share with you this morning and what it relates to, how it impacts us being world changers. This whole concept of missions, and we want to be world changers, how those things, kingdom, mission, Jesus, and partnership, all fit together into world missions, into being world changers, and then we will be done. I want you to think about this real quick. What is the first command that Jesus gives his people? No, not Jesus, I'm sorry, that God gives humanity in Genesis. And I'll give you a hint. It's not, don't eat from this tree. The first command he gives his people is a blessing, not a ban. It is, I want you to multiply. I want you to be fruitful and multiply, and I want you to go and subdue the earth. It is yours for the taking. I want you to go and roam and be and spread my glory everywhere you go. So in other words, what he's saying is, with our partnership with God, he wanted you in Genesis to find a partner, have babies, travel around, explore, and subdue the earth with his glory. It's this beautiful concept of partnership with God. So God put those desires in us, and so it's no wonder that we want to be a part of them when we figure out who we are in Jesus Christ, that missions would be a part of who we are. He created us with the desire to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it. He invented the desire to travel. And I don't know if you don't like to travel or not. You need to travel. Even if it's just outside of Texas, travel. But I would recommend get a passport. See the world. Learn about different culture. Learn about how Jesus works in different societies, in different areas, in different lands, in different countries. Because he created us with a desire to do that. To control our environment, to have families, and other things that married couples like to do. The children are in children's class, right? Okay. Look, that is a biblical principle. Just read the Old Testament. I'm just saying. In a married context. Thank you. Okay. The reason, okay, so see what this is what Jennifer will tell you. It's all because I'm in New Zealand now, I don't think. All right. The reason for this is there was a blueprint that God created us with. He created us with a blueprint that God wanted us to fill the earth with his glory. So he made us in his image. He made these creatures, us, that in his image would go and bear his name everywhere we went. And so that the plan, the blueprint was, is as you multiply, more little creatures that look like God would fill the earth, and they would go out and fill the whole earth with his glory so that everybody would know who he was. If you go in the Old Testament, you want to know what happened in Babel, it wasn't that they built this gigantic tower that made God so upset. Because in the Hebrew, I'm not going to quote, I'm just kidding, I don't know exactly how to say it. But what it actually means is that God literally had to get down on his knee to see the tower. That doesn't look like a tower to me that's close to reaching God. It was a joke to him. What's upset is they built borders around their facility so nobody got in and nobody got out without permission, and they stopped spreading the glory and the image of God everywhere they went. So he confused their language, so no longer could they stay in one place. In Acts, he does the same thing, but he does it through persecution. They had stagnated. They were staying in one central part, and he's like, I need you to spread my glory out. And so the persecution of the church comes, and they scatter, and that's how we have all these mission works going on around the world. It's always been his blueprint. So hundreds of years later, after God gives this blueprint, Jesus comes along, he sits on a mountainside, and he gives the same blueprint message to all these people. And he tells them all over again that you are made in the image of God, and you are made to travel, and you are made to subdue the earth, and you are made to multiply. You are made to be the bearers of his image. Matthew 28 says, and then go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the best part of, as a missionary, and I hope you feel this too, the best part of that whole verse is, and lo, I will be with you always to the ends of the earth. It's like this beautiful message of, here's the blueprint, here's the mission, here's what you need to do, but I will be with you. So don't worry about it. The blueprint still hasn't changed for us. God is still passionately committed to seeing people carry the image of God, his glory everywhere we go. But the blueprint is no longer just about having children, although for many of us, it would include that. But it's not just about having children. It's about going to the children that are already there, and the people who are already there, and baptizing them and teaching them what it means to follow Jesus. It's no longer just about filling the space where nobody lives. It's about filling the spaces where everybody lives. Filling it with the glory and the image of God. It's about making disciples of Jesus. In other words, the blueprint is still for human beings to be about reproduction and reproducing themselves and traveling. It's just now we call reproduction discipleship, and we call travel world missions. But the blueprint, I want you to see, has never changed. This is always what we were supposed to be about. This is about being world changers. I think the thing I love most about Jesus, and this is the part in D.C. and in New Zealand that I get to share the most, it's the thing I love the most, is that I get to share that Jesus is making all things new. Because I don't know how it is here. I mean, I'm almost 8 years removed from living in the States. It's confusing to me. I people laugh, but I have patterns. Like, when I come back, I have things I want to do. Taco Bueno, Taco Bell, Mexican food. So, I mean, it's somewhere in that order. And then other foods, too. And I mean, for me, that's what I remember of home, because everything else has changed. That's about the only thing that's constant. Matter of fact, Taco Bueno totally tripped me out, because they had this whole menu. And I was like, well, where's the party burritos and the enchiladas? And they're like, oh, that's our classic menu. I'm like, oh, we got fancy now. Like, we got new Taco Bueno, the classic menu. I'm like, all right, that's where I'm at. So I don't know completely what it is here, but I know for the people in New Zealand that they are broken and they are hurting and they are in abusive situations and they have addictions that they don't feel like they can control. And the message that they need to hear isn't that I can save them, because I can't. And it's not that they can save themselves, because they can't, but it's that Jesus can come in and can make all things new in their life. It's a simple message that we have to tell. And the cool thing is, the thing that I love most about it is I have a story within myself I can tell of how Jesus has made all things new in me. And you have a story built within you about how Jesus has made all things new in you. It's a simple message that we have to tell. And Jesus is the one that does all the power. He does all the work. Some things have become fascinating to me over the last few years, and it's really about this whole idea of identity, and how God changed names throughout the Old Testament. There's all these different people who God changed their name. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. I'm going to miss some of them, but Jacob to Israel, and Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul. There's all these different names. He had purposes to why he did that, but one of my favorite recently has come with Joshua. In the book of Joshua, did you know he had a different name? I've read that. I mean, that's one of my favorite books. I've read this thing over and over again, and I was reading it for it was the first time I read it again. It was like, and Hosea, I was like, who's Hosea? Oh, Joshua had a different name. I'm like, okay. So Hosea, his name means salvation, or I am salvation. And God says, no longer will you be called Hosea, but you will be called Joshua, because I, the Lord, am salvation. Now, Joshua is about to go lead the people of Israel into the promised land. He's got a huge task at hand. And the only way this is going to happen, the only way that he will be able to lead the people of God in a way that is godly, in the way that God has created him to do, is if he realizes that he is not God, and God is God, and he has the power to make all this happen. And if he will just bow down to God and follow what he says, everything will work out. Name changes matter. And I will tell you that you at Lake Cities do not have the power to do anything in Trophy Club and Keller and all the surrounding areas because the power does not rest in you because you are not salvation. One of the hardest things I had to learn as a missionary is that I am not salvation. Because I wanted to go in and I wanted to rescue. I wanted to go in and I wanted to fix. And that is not my power to do. And the more I tried, the more I failed. Until I realized that the power of salvation and the power of rescue and the power of changed lives happens in Jesus Christ alone. And that's what's amazing about it. And then it was like this weight lifted off where I didn't have to worry so much about what I said and I didn't have to worry so much about how I did things. As long as I knew that I was living a life that Jesus had called me to and spreading that message to the people in an honest and transparent way, Jesus would take care of the rest. One of my favorite stories of DC was when the early days when we were just struggling to get anybody to study the Bible and really just talk about Jesus, period. I mean, when I say we're talking people who don't know Jesus, I really mean they don't know Jesus. Most of them have never read the story of the Bible at all, and they've never even heard the story that Jesus died on the cross for them. Wednesday night I shared the story of Debbie, who we recently got to baptize, and how she had never heard that Jesus died on the cross, and when she got there, she threw her Bible down and ran out of the study because she couldn't fathom that a God would allow his son to die on a cross. And the whole time the ladies were trying to chase her down, saying, just turn the page, he's alive. I mean, but they don't, that doesn't wrap around their minds. And so one of my favorite things that we did was we realized, man, we are not slick enough to do this. We are not creative enough. We are not, like, we prided ourselves in being all these kind of things. Like, we are the new age of church planting. And it was like, they didn't care. We opened the doors and we were like, look, it's new. And they were like, go home. Like, okay. The best thing we did is we got down on our knees as a team and we just started praying, God, if you don't physically come down and do something, this is never going to work. And these same people who wanted nothing to do with this were calling us saying, can we study the Bible? People who swore up and down they would never study the Bible with us were saying, all right, let's sit down, let's talk about this Jesus who you so care about. Power wasn't in us. We had already given up on that. God came through. So name changes matter when we realize that the Lord is salvation. We are the conduits of that change. You here at Lake Cities are that conduit by which Jesus' name and glory of God is spread. And it starts in the whole concept of Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It starts in your family. The most important piece of missions anywhere in your life is your family. And it starts there and it spreads to those that you know, your friends, your close friends, and it spreads to your community and it spreads to each other here in the church and then into the world. And that's what we're called to do. That is our mission. That's who we are. I want to talk about something just real quick that was kind of hard, and it was something that I realized, and it's something that I hope that that with this leadership conference we did help the leaders to realize. But I got a bunch of leaders in a room, and I was asked to do a conference on who are we in God, and what has God called us to do? Just simple things. So my assignment to them was, I gave them 15 minutes actually to write on a piece of paper all the scriptures that they knew that talk about who are we in Jesus Christ and what is our mission in Jesus Christ. They didn't need 15, they needed 5. And they had paper, like pages filled with scripture off the top of their head. They could quote it. We started writing them all down, and it dawned on me, and I had to say it to them, and it's something that it hurts a little bit. The reason that we are not seeing world changing in missions and that we are not seeing church planting happen and that we are not seeing growth within our churches has nothing to do with our lack of knowledge. It has everything to do with our lack of desire. And man, did that crush me. Because we do the things that we desire. We succeed in the things that we desire. We grow and we put our money and our energies into the things that we desire. I can't tell you how much money I've wasted trying to get a six-pack. Every infomercial comes on. I mean, it's like, ooh, 30 days, six-pack, all right. And here's the thing. And all jokes aside, I would love, I have a fun goal. I told Jennifer by the age of 40, 3 more years, I'd love to have I haven't had a six-pack since I was 22. It's in there somewhere. Now, I can buy a gym membership, and I have, And I get busy in my work and I don't go to the gym and I'm sitting there going, well, nothing's changing. Like, what's going on? I eat Taco Bueno until, and then nothing happens. I physically, if I want to see this goal happen, have to get up and do something. It means changing my habits. It means changing what I desire. It means changing the way I go about operating on a day-to-day basis. And I know that's a silly example and it may not happen. I'm going to try though. But that's exactly what it means to follow Jesus. And if we want to see churches grow, if we want to see churches revive, if we want to see the name of Jesus spread throughout the world and world missions abound, if we want to see church planting happen, I tell you, my greatest passion right now is there are not enough church plants in New Zealand, and I want to see them in areas. I can pinpoint areas and tell you areas that need a church plant because there's nothing going on there. If we want to see that happen, we have to desire it. It has to change within us, and Jesus has to come in, and we have to realize that I am not salvation, that Jesus is, and my desire is for him and for him alone to come in and to change the world. The thing that amazes me about being world changers has nothing to do with changing the world. These people that we read about that are just amazing people who have done great things in the name of the world have changed the way we do things, did not start by trying to change the world. They started by trying to change the few. We have to, you can't get around one-on-one. You just can't. When we first got to New Zealand, it was all about, we had two nets. Cast a big net, cast a small net. Do big events so we can gather the people. Do small nets so that we can get that one-on-one going. The problem is we got so addicted to large net activities that we did it at the neglect of the relationship because it was more about the activity and the fun that we had with that. Because you know what happens when you go with a small net? When you go one-on-one, it gets messy. You got to deal with people's problems. And then usually their problems pull out your own problems. And you start reading scriptures that say stuff like, you know, why are you trying to deal with that speck in their eye when you got a plank in your own? And you're like, oh, come on, Bible. Like, stop it. And that's what happens. There's mess in the world, and we are called into that mess. And that's why it's so important to realize that Jesus is at work, Jesus is powerful, Jesus is winning, Jesus is Lord and over you, because when you do that, you don't mind diving in the mess, because he's going to make all things new. And I want you to believe that. I want you to live that. I got to stop walking away from my notes. We're going to be here all day. Romans 8:37. Paul says that you and Jesus Christ are more than conquerors. And that should give you peace, and that should give you confidence, and that should give you boldness. Because in Jesus Christ, you can do anything you want to do. You should have no fear. One of the things that got me in trouble in my early days, and I don't know if you remember this, but my early days of mission work is I had an elder ask me about evangelism, and I told him I'm not an evangelist. You shouldn't say that to people, apparently, when you're a missionary. I'm not. That is not my dominant gift. So let me explain it, though, because I didn't get to explain it to him. I'm going to explain it to you. I love people. I'm good with people. Like, I love relationships. You put me in front of a crowd, and I mean, I love it. I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo. This is fun to me. You put me one-on-one. I love it. But when I have to start to dive in that mess and really have to start letting Jesus speak into some areas, man, that's hard for me because I'm a people pleaser. And I don't want to lose relationship, and I don't want to lose, you know, all the things that we built. I don't want people not liking me and then telling other people they don't like me. That's my own self-confidence issues. And that's hard. But because I started to learn that Jesus will work in us and through us, and he's powerful and he's at work, I've done really good in evangelism because of God and God alone. Like, God has blessed me to be a part of many conversions in New Zealand, not because I had any power, but because I just said, I'm scared to death, God, and if you'll just work through me somehow. And inside, I look all confident. People are like, oh, that's great. Inside, my body's just doing this, and I'm just like, okay, here we go. Do you know Jesus? Okay. Let's go. You know, it's a hard thing, but here's the thing. What I discovered is it's so much easier than we think. That your life is a testimony of how Jesus has worked in you. And if you'll just share that with people, doors open up. If you'll just serve them and love them and share with them that Jesus is in control, doors will open up because in Jesus Christ, you are more than conquerors. I want you to do something real quick and We're getting there. We're getting there. I want you to stand up with me for a second. So I told you name changing is important. I'm now going to change your church name. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. We're not changing Lake City's name. This is who you are. But in Jesus Christ, you are something completely new. And so for just a minute, I want you to breathe in who you are in Jesus Christ as the Lake City's church. I want you to feel the impact of your new name. You are a people called to bless your family, to love your neighbors, to serve your communities, to care for each other, to reach the world. Not by your own power, but by the power of the one who healed the sick, made the blind to see, raised the dead, and raised himself from the dead because death had no power over him. You are a people who have been given a new name by Jesus Christ, one that has meaning, one that has power. You are more than conquerors in this world and can accomplish anything in all things because of this new name. You are a people belonging to Christ. Will you say that with me? We are a people belonging to Christ. One more time. We are a people belonging to Christ. Do you believe that? Do you feel the impact of that? That God is at work in you individually and as a church. That Lake Cities is up to something incredibly good and cool and extravagant because God is at work in you and through you right now. And that when you leave this place, this Sunday gathering should be nothing more than an energy boost for you to go out and do all the things that God has called you to do in his name because you have power through Jesus Christ. All right, sit down. The interesting thing is most people who are known as world changers, like I said before, didn't start to try to change the world. She's not here this morning. My brother-in-law is here this morning. My mom, my mother-in-law, my niece, and my friends from Florida. Way to come from Florida. Welcome to Texas. You're from New Mexico, close enough, right? So there you go. Here's the thing. My sister-in-law started a really cool organization. I didn't mean to talk about this, but here's the thing. I don't think, I wouldn't say that she tried to change the world. She wanted to help some people. There were families in need. She started a not-for-profit that is a great ministry that they're doing, that they want to just help some families in need. And this thing blew up, not because they were trying to change the world, but because they trusted that Jesus Christ would do something through this. There are so many stories, and you probably have stories in this church of things that have happened, not because you tried to change the world, but because you trusted Jesus to do it. So trust in Jesus. Let him make all things new. And I'm going to skip the rest of that part of Jesus. I mean, I've gotten down to what I want to say because I want to end with this part, with partnership. We've talked about kingdom, mission, and Jesus, and I want to end with partnership. I want you to know missions giving is important. I mean, it really is. There are missionaries around the world, including me, that we eat, we have a house, we can pay our bills, we can minister without worrying about these things because you are partnered with us, and that is more than just your money. That is more than just a check. That is, without you, this mission does not happen. So you need to see yourselves as more than just a check. You are a partnership. And we as missionaries want to hear from you. And we want to talk to you as well. And we want to share back and forth about what God is doing in New Zealand. And we want to hear about what God is doing in Lake Cities and around the area because we are in partnership in this mission of Jesus Christ. Without you, this can't be done. So trust me when I say that we missionaries want your money. I mean, we need your money. But I think if you talk to most of us who are on the field, far away, and you asked us what we really want, more than your money, but we need your money. Don't forget that part. But more than your money, we really do want your partnership. We want to know that you're going through the same things that we're going through, that you are trying to do the same things that we're trying to do, that you are reaching out in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can learn from one another, and we can rely on one another, and we can talk to you and hear the hardships of what you're going through, and we can share the hardships of what we're going through because we are in this together. So as we close, I want to challenge you to give greater in your lives, not just your money. Give greater in your lives. Give greater in your time, in your love, in your community, in this church. give greater to missions, and trust that God will work. One of my favorite movies was Matrix. And this is before, you know, Keanu Reeves went from whoa to a cool guy in Matrix. And if you don't know where the whoa came from, we need to have a movie-vacation. But he's standing with Morpheus, and Morpheus has two pills. He has a blue pill and he has a red pill. And he says, if you take the blue pill, you go back to bed, you wake up in your bed, the story's over. You can think whatever you want to think. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and we see how far this hole goes, this rabbit hole goes. What if is the whole key to world change? You want to be a world changer in Jesus Christ, you got to deal with the what if. What if God actually would use me to do this? What if I actually moved my family 8,000 miles away to New Zealand? Would God work? Let's find out. What if Lake Cities got out of their comfort zone and started serving the homeless? Oh, that happened. And look what happened. Amazing things are happening. What if you started serving your surrounding communities? What if you started in the little pockets of friendships that you have where you have influence now, and you started reaching out in Jesus Christ, and you started little care groups with each other of people who don't even go to Lake Cities, maybe don't even go to church, and you said, hey, I know you don't go to church, and you may not even believe in God, but would you still come with me and serve, and I'm going to tell people about Jesus, and can we do this hand in hand? Marty, this is a story I've never told about Marty. One of the greatest things I ever saw Marty do, one of the most evangelistic things he ever did, was one of our service days at a church. He still was an atheist, did not believe in God whatsoever, and he goes up to a lady who were washing her car, and she's talking about she's never had a full tank of gas, and he says, you know what, Jesus is here to help you, we're going to fill up your tank, and you should come to this church. And you're like, wow. I mean, God is at work. That wasn't anything we did. God will use you and mold you if you'll deal with the what if and just say, what if God will use me, because we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. The story of God starts in a garden, it ends in a city, and it's a beautiful picture of the Bible. The whole, from Genesis to Revelation, we are walking hand in hand because we, as the people of God with a new name, get to be a part of missions. We get to be world changers, making all things new. And that starts this morning. Thank you, guys.